Now, we've been talking in general about the church, and I want to talk about apostles. Look, there was a time when, like everybody else, I did not know apostles existed, or at least not for today. Yes, we believed in the apostles that were in the Bible, and that's all we believed in. In fact, it was commonly taught in the church. Some of you are too young to remember these days, but it was the standard doctrine of churches all over the world that there were no more apostles after the first 12 did their work. That Jesus appointed 12 apostles and there were no more. And this was dogma. That, in fact, it was tied to the writing of the Bible, that standard doctrine of the church said that once the Bible was written, apostles were no longer needed. You know, we still had church leaders, church fathers, but no more apostles, because an apostle's task, you know, an apostle was kind of this faultless person who only wrote 100% what the Lord had said, and once that was done, apostles were no longer needed. This is the old standard dogma of the church. And we all believed that because there was nothing else taught. And not only that, but for 2,000 years, there didn't seem to be any evidence to us that there were actually apostles. And then all of a sudden, the Lord began talking apostles. He had already been putting an emphasis on the rest of the fivefold ministry, as you know from our first lecture. But he began to raise apostles, and this happened to me. I didn't know there was another apostle in the world, and I did not know that apostles were coming. I did not believe in them. If you asked me to consider what my calling was, I would have considered many things, but never for a moment even considered that as a possibility, until the day came when the Lord made it very clear to me. It came out of nowhere. After years in the ministry, this word came that said, you're not a pastor, you're an apostle. And this comes as a surprise because you'd never believed in it. But it had that ring of truth, and this is what this occurred in 1989, and it began my search to find out from the Lord, are there apostles today? And are you restoring them? And if so, what do they do? What's their character? What is their nature? What are they appointed to do? And how would the church needs to change to fit them back in? And I had many questions like this. And over 5 or 6 years, the Lord faithfully showed me from the scripture the answers to these questions. And I began to teach the answers. I began to teach it in our own church, and I began to teach it in my travels in the Philippines and India and Singapore and the like. I did not in those years claim to be an apostle. I just knew that was the starting point the Lord had said I was. But instead, when I taught it, I would teach it simply from the Word of God, saying, this is what the Scripture says, and this is what God is doing in the world. And so I began to teach that we had moved into this era where He was restoring apostles. And the first thing you have to do is argue that you can have apostles today. Because remember, we'd had a standard dogma that said you couldn't. But I began to discover the Scripture was really clear that Christ always appointed apostles for the church. That there was never a time, not biblically, not if you analyze it scripturally, there is never a time when the church should not have apostles. For example, 1 Corinthians 12:28, immediately following Paul's lengthy discussion of the body of Christ, there are many parts and they all have different functions, and he makes a very, very strong point to say every part is essential and the body cannot do without any part. So he lays out this argument in 1 Corinthians 12 and then he makes this statement. God has appointed in the church first, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. And then he stops numbering. He goes on to list other gifts and functions, but after 1, 2, and 3, apostles, prophets, and teachers, he stops numbering. Now that numbering is very significant because he has, in doing that, specifically pointed out the authority structure of the church. What is the designated leadership with Christ's authority for the church. Who are the individuals that represent the head of the church? Christ is the head of the body. Who are the individuals who represent the head to the body in leading the body of Christ? And he says, first, apostles. And the truth is, you cannot simply have a few apostles who lived 2,000 years ago, a few of whom wrote the scriptures. Most of them did not. Most of those 12 apostles of the Lamb did not write scripture for us. They had another function altogether. And most apostles, in fact, all the apostles who've lived since, including all the ones who will yet come, will not write scripture. So there is not a call for them to write infallible words. No, but there is a call for them to fulfill all these other roles that apostles must fulfill. The primary leadership of the body of Christ is apostles. The leadership person that truly represents the authority of Jesus is the apostle. But you will misunderstand that if we do not define the kind of authority that apostle has. That it will become for us, if we don't get to it in this lecture, we will. That is going to become a point for us of supreme importance, defining the authority that an apostle does have and does not have and how it works, because it is completely different to anything else you experience in this world. It is not the same. And this is why Jesus said, now listen carefully to his words, he said to his 12, if any of you wants to be first, you must be last and the servant of all. Now, notice the interesting choice of words. Jesus said, if any of you wishes to be what? First. But notice over here, Paul, as an apostle writing Holy Scripture, says, God has appointed in the church first, apostles. So Jesus is effectively saying, if you're going to be an apostle, if you're going to carry the authority of an apostle, if you're going to lead and govern the church, if you're going to be the first order of authority in leadership representing Christ, you're going to have to put yourself last. You're going to have to be the servant of everyone. You're going to have to take the lowest place. This is a very, very important principle, or apostles themselves will never understand how to be apostles. This is why it's going to take time to fully restore apostolic authority. Because anyone like myself growing up in denominational Christianity doesn't fully understand how to flow in that, and you have to learn. I'll give an example. I was in the Philippines it might have been 1997, and I'd had 5 or 6 years of learning about the nature of apostles and was teaching it, and I was just in that first early stage of learning what it meant to be an apostolic people, so still early days for me. And I was there to minister as an apostle, and our concept in those days was that apostles would build networks of relationships with pastors and churches and give spiritual fathering, spiritual succor, spiritual leadership to them, and so on and so forth, because the authority of Christ, you know, needed to be established. And I was in the Philippines and have a partner there who is an apostle. And this particular day, we were to go out and we were to meet 4 or 5 senior pastors that... our purpose was simply in those days to teach. So we would have wanted to share with them the information we had from the Lord about where the church was going, what this would mean relative to the future, how pastors needed to learn to relate with to apostles, how together in that partnership, you know, churches can be more fruitful. So we wanted to teach this kind of thing. But for the purpose of this illustration, could I explain that in my mind, it was still the thought that, pastors and churches needed apostolic covering. And from the position of this grace I'd been given, they could find that in me if they wanted. We didn't impose this on anybody. But really, you're going out with a sense that you've got, some kind of order you can bring to the church. But before I went out, my partner came to my room and I said to him, this is Felix, and I said, I just feel we should sit and listen to the Lord, like we haven't been listening enough. So we sat and listened for a few minutes. And I heard the Lord speak. And he said, I'm going to bring you into relationship with great men and women of God all around the world, and you will serve them. Now that changed everything. You will serve them. I went out that day. Something had been given to me by grace. It wasn't just information. There was something of the grace of God in that. I went out that day with a whole new understanding and therefore a new attitude. I wasn't going out there to take charge of anything. I was going out there as a servant to great men. And that has been the value system of me and of those with me and of this ministry ever since. We are here to serve others. We are here to make other people successful. And this is meant to be the heart of every real apostle. That doesn't mean the apostle doesn't have authority. Doesn't mean the apostle can't bring correction. It doesn't mean the apostle can't deal with great strength with some things and doesn't have power, but there's a different heart. There's a different value system. There's a different motive in the whole thing. The apostle does not try to own anything for himself, does not try to control anything, does not need to be the big dog on the porch. The apostle has a heart to enrich other people and to truly represent Christ in that enriching process. But that has to be learned. Now, I'm talking to you about the real apostle. And I will begin talking to you very soon, not in this lecture tonight, but probably in the next, about the counterfeit apostle or the false apostle. And I will compare and contrast those two when we get to it. But the first thing I want you to understand is that real apostles have a certain kind of heart. They don't necessarily have it to begin with. I mean, yes, they'll have a certain kind of heart before the Lord even takes hold of them, but they've got a lot to learn. So there's a changing and a growing that takes place all along the way. Obviously, they were teachable to begin with, but their values will need tuning up. Many lessons to be learned and many tests to be passed. But that was an early lesson for me. And I was, in all those early years, I was learning about apostles and teaching it publicly, but being taught myself, being adjusted and positioned and being matured. And it's a long, long process.